Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Hello. And joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We're going to have to work on that.
Man, yeah. You're throwing me off of that shirt, man.
That's Am I?
Oh, my goodness.
Man, that table.
Don't be throwing off.
That's just what I thought about, was like getting you know, some hot dogs.
Don't
some,
be
some
throwing
tater
off,
chips.
Right?
Did you take that from Teresa?
The tater chip?
You better give that tablecloth back.
I like my shirt.
Well, it just makes me think about a picnic. I don't know what it is.
Maybe you're supposed to take me to lunch today. I'm all right.
That'd be
with
great.
That.
Maybe aunties.
Aunties. In fact, if you want a great place to eat some ribs and some diet pork, you want to go to Aunties. She will hook you up and make it just lick all your fingers when you walk out of that place. It's so good.
I don't
lick
my fingers at all. Something about that.
Oh, there's really?
No. But if you...
I've seen them in ribs now. Okay.
She also caters, by the way.
Does she?
She caters. And imagine having this. I mean, she makes the best collard greens.
Mm. Yeah, she does.
I know we're just sitting here talking about our sponsor right now. But really, I mean, she flavors them with chicken broth. Mm. Oh, I told her secret.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry.
Sorry, Ida.
But she does that because she didn't want to put oil in there because of, healthy sodium. Living and all that. But she does put a pork ribs. And they're good. You got to try them out. Go to VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors. You've got to see them. They're wonderful people. They're standing up for God and country and for Israel. I mean, think about it. How important it is for these sponsors and you, our partners, who are standing with us, for us to be able to talk about Israel, what's happening. Yeah. Let's talk about what's happening in our nation. If you missed our earlier program, you got to catch it because it's a whole list of, and Bill O'Reilly from Fox News lists this whole list, and it's just like some uncontaminated, no political view of it. This is just kind of how we are.
Yeah.
And America's not in a good place.
Mm-mm.
But what is a Christian perspective of that? Okay, yeah, we got that, but what do we do? And so we began in the earlier part of the another program talking about Matthew 24, when Jesus is actually talking to his disciples to ask the question, what's it going to be like when you come? What are some of the signs of your coming? And we're going to be talking about that today. But also, Billy Graham, you know, the Billy Graham Library celebrated in the month of July the military.
Wow.
And we really have to ask ourselves the question, why are we calling, and, you know, there's something about sports that does something to us, and we really like it. They're good at a sport, but they're not our hero. Mm-hmm. Our hero is the man that threw his body on a mine, on a grenade, in Afghanistan to save his buddies. And he lived. And he doesn't even regret what he did. A hero are these soldiers who go out on the front lines to represent and defend our country. And we come back. You think about this. So they come back after risking their life for a minute paycheck, mind you, for a struggle just trying to get health care in regards to VA, what we promised them, to sit next to a fellow citizen whose rights they defended while they talk about, you know, LeBron James as being their hero. Mm-hmm. And it's not like that in military, love sports.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody loves it. You love it. But they're not a hero because they can get a ball on a hoop or a ball over in some. It's just all about balls, right? It's all about balls in something, on something, around something. Ever since we kicking cans as a kid. Mm-hmm. But think about it. That those are true heroes. They really are. I mean, some of these people, you just think like you should be awed in their presence. And you're talking about Dwayne Wade.
Right.
You're talking about Drew Brees.
Drew Brees.
And Drew Brees would be the first to tell you he's not a hero. I'm sure he would say is the ones that lay down their life. Another is, you know, the law enforcement. I mean, every single night, think about this. Every single night, you're able to go to bed at night and rest, unless you're in Detroit because it's in financial crisis.
Or Chicago.
Oh, yeah, Chicago. That's right. And come into a city near you.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't change. Understand that they go out and they actually respond to potential burglaries, crimes. When you call, they come out and they are the filter system in regards to hostility coming your way. And the fact that they're there, that overwhelming reality that that police officers and law enforcement, all the way up to Federal Bureau of Investigation, CIA, you know, all the way down to your local police officer. Just the fact that they know that that's there, it keeps many, many, many bad guys in check.
Mm-hmm.
And understand, if that wasn't there, you could see how difficult with Iraq kicking back in again. There was just no local law enforcement to be able to handle that. The military had to train up law enforcement to teach them how to police their own communities.
Wow.
And it looks like the first thing that happened. Anyway, we're not going to talk about that. But those are heroes. They're really heroes. They really are. I mean, I think about Don Cook, sheriff's deputy. He and I worked together. Just great, great. I used to be a law enforcement. And I mean, he was just always happy. He always had a toothpick in his mouth. He thought he could do karate. You know, he'd kick his leg with a southern accent. And but he was always there to back you up. I mean, you're alone on the streets. It's not like the movies. You're by yourself pretty much in a cruiser as a deputy sheriff patrolling. And all you have is your backup that may come or may not come. And Dom was always there. And so every night he'd come home to his family, his children. But one night he didn't come home. One night he and Robbie Wade, which is still an officer at that department, great guy, and others, where there was a suspect that was running from a different particular county that was coming through their county, and they radioed ahead and they said, you know, can you help us out? Can you stop him? Can you put some blockage up on a particular interstate road that was going on? And so I believe it was Robbie Way and Don Cook and maybe a couple other officers went to the particular Interstate 10 area. It was a typical day. Probably finished having a meal with his family, you know, joking around in the muster room, backing people up and all that. But it was going to be his last moments on earth. And they went up there. They put their cruisers, police cars on the roadway to block it. This is like maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And they went to get out of the way because it was a long time in coming, and Don didn't get far enough out of the way. So when they came, they went to go, the suspects were driving a high rate of speed. They dodged the cruisers. They went into like the median off the shoulder of the road and went down, and they ran over Don and killed Don. You can go to that particular, for those that are listening, our audience around the nation, you could actually go next time you go to Pensacola Beach or you go to the Gulf Shore in Escambia County, Pensacola Beach, go to Escambia County Sheriff's Department and walk into the front door right there. And etched in the glass is a hero. His name is Don Cook, whose family had to learn to live without him. That's true. I mean, compare that to Shaq. I mean, I really like Shaq. I think he's hilarious. I think he's funny. But he's not a hero. He's not a hero. What have we done? A hero is a teacher that spends more time with your kid than you do trying to teach him how to read, and you don't even pick up a book yourself to teach him how to read. That's a hero. I mean, think about that. Yeah. A hero is somebody willing to stand up and lead in a place like today when people are so, you know, disgruntled about everything and trying to bring good. Those are heroes. They really are.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, we just can't. We're paying millions of dollars to somebody who can take a wooden stick and hit a ball in this grassy field while we're not even paying law enforcement enough to be able to make it, where they have to work side jobs to be able to make it.
Yeah.
For some reason, we're paying all this money to somebody who exercises and runs up and down, you know, and catches a ball, you know, who eventually many are disgruntled and regret the fact that they did that because of all the injury and the head trauma and all these things going on. We're paying all this money to them while we're not paying our teachers anything. Listen, if you pay more, you can expect more, but if you only pay a little, you're going to get what you pay for.
That's right.
I used to always say that in the sheriff's department when I was a deputy, was like, you know, if you want better, you got to pay better. I mean, there's people lined up all day long who want to beat a police. If you want somebody who's qualified to be a police,
that's right.
Right?
That's right.
You know, I mean, you get what you pay for.
That's right.
And what happens is that when I remember when, you know, the first thing that happened when I became a deputy was they were cutting back money. Mm-hmm. The first thing I got was a pink slip. I'm like, I got hired. The first thing I got was, here's your departure card because the budget's going to be cut. And somehow they worked to the budget. And
that's motivating.
It was really motivating.
Yeah, I bet.
It's divine. It was probably divine. I should have took it. And
it's a sign.
It's a sign, right? Did I just get hired?
What means now this?
Yeah. And, but everybody that was highly qualified, and officer, everybody's a hero that's out there every day. I don't care. I mean, that's amazing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But departments that would pay more would come and recruit the good officers from that, the best of the best, the cream of the crop. And they would just say, hey, I know you're getting paid squat. And, I know you have to work side jobs. And, you don't know if you're going to be able to keep your kid in school or not. Mm-hmm. But if you come work for us at Pinellas, if you work for us at Dallas, if you work for us in, you know, you name it, then we're going to pay you, you know, and it was like 3 or 4 times the salary.
Wow.
With benefits. And so, you know, obviously they have to make a decision sometimes like that. But this is the hero. That's a hero that they're going to go do, you know, be in law enforcement there. But the one that said, you know what? I could get paid more, but this is where I belong. Mm-hmm. I've got to choose to do my job for a different reason other than money. That cannot be my motivating factor.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this thing because I care about the community. I care about the lady up the street that she doesn't get robbed. My heart's broken that so it's such a person feels violated now because somebody climbed in their window this week and went through all their stuff. And I'm going to patrol their house and make sure they feel safe. I'm going to do my job because I care, and I'm going to believe that God's going to take care of me. Mm. Those are heroes. Mm-hmm. Even though they have to start a business on the side to be able to survive. I mean, that's amazing folks to me. But for some reason, we're paying millions of dollars to a baseball player. I mean, think about it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One's on a grassy field. One's on an icy field. You know, but it's just kicking a ball around. It's hitting a puck around. I mean, it's a sticking a ball or a ball. In, I mean, mm-hmm. And that's cool. I mean, sports are so overtaken. I got to look away. I can't stay focused on what God's doing because mm-hmm. it just does something to you. But truly the hero is the one every night so you can lay your head at night that their cruiser, their police car, you know, they get up, they put their uniform on, and they don't know if it's going to end like Don Cook or not that night. Every night they're at risk. They don't know if that's the night your house is going to be burglarized, a crime's going to happen to you, something's going to happen to your business, but they're ready. They're patrolling, and they're just waiting for a call to come over the radio and say, be en route. We have a signal, whatever it is, at such and such address. And you know what? They take their steering wheel, and they turn it around, and they go right to the problem so you can sleep. True heroes are in our everyday life. And I'm not excluding our firefighters. Thank you to all of our public servants. And we appreciate you, the heroes in America.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Andrew grew up in South Florida. I think a very typical life for a young boy, always playing outside. He had lots of friends. He loved to be active. He's always been very fit and adventurous. He was really into go-karts and ATVs and dirt bikes. He was always involved, you know, playing Little League baseball. He loved PE. He enjoyed to serve. In his teenage years, he would serve at the church. Had a great network of social friends. Just an easy, fun-loving guy who loved to be outside, loved to partake in the South Florida weather and the activities that are natural to South Florida.
On March 31st of this year, Sergeant Andrew Tamarisi, a 25-year-old decorated U.S. Marine inactive reservist, was on his way to San Diego from a border town near Mexico. When he took a wrong turn onto a highway ramp, he believed led north to the city. Within a few hundred feet, the ramp instead swept south with no turnaround access. It was a funnel straight into Mexico. Sergeant Tamarisi had just moved to San Diego from Florida and was unfamiliar with the area, which is notorious for confusing even local travelers.
Having not yet secured permanent housing, he had all his belongings in his truck, including personal firearms legally purchased in the U.S. With no American presence at the border, Sergeant Tamarisi tried getting help from 911 to no avail. Despite having told the Mexican authorities he had personal firearms in his truck, and despite his explanation that he never intended to enter Mexico, and his request to turn back, Mexican authorities arrested Andrew on weapons charges. He was placed into the general population at La Mesa State Penitentiary in Tijuana, where his life was threatened by both inmates and guards. After 35 days in a four-point restraint, Sergeant Tamarisi was moved to El Hongo Federal Prison, where he's guarded 24/7 in solitary confinement. Andrew Tamarisi has served our country with honor and distinction. He served two tours in Afghanistan, received a battlefield promotion, survived a roadside bomb, and saved the lives of eight Marines. And he was in the process of overcoming his PTSD. Now, Andrew is fighting for his freedom. He's fighting for his life. And he needs our help. You can help by going to AndrewFreedomFund.com and signing the petition to President Obama to work for Andrew's release. You can also help by contributing to offset costs of his legal defense and other expenses. Help bring Andrew home.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
It doesn't take much to set the tone for the day. In your marriage, though, it does take a little sensitivity. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute, and marriage expert Dr. Greg Smalley shares how your words can have a major impact on your spouse.
I heard one time a guy that his wife was, you know, they're getting ready in the bathroom, and she's looking in the mirror and just saying, gosh, she goes, honey, look at me, I'm getting older, you know, I'm looking at the weight that I've gained, and I'm just feeling really, really bad about myself. Can you say something just to pick my spirits up? And he said, well, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight.
Ooh, ouch. Well, in all seriousness, little jabs like that really can destroy your spouse's day. Try a text or a phone call right now just to say, I love you and I'm praying for you. That could make all the difference. You'll find more trusted family advice at FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
And you know, Pat, I abide. Do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
Steve, do you abide?
Oh, yeah.
I abide, you abide, Steve abides. We all abide together. We want to encourage you to abide along with us.
I think Chris does too.
And I think Chris does too. He's shaking.
We got a smile.
He doesn't have a mic. Oh, he's jumping. He abides too. And I know Greg abides. Listen, join us in abiding. We talked about how you can get a free, simple plan. Go to iabide.org, select get your free plan today. And when you begin to abide, we want to hear what the Lord is saying to you. Contact us. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook and go to VFNTV.com to find different ways that you can connect with us and with the program. Mm. And we want to hear what God is saying. There's so many abiders right now, and God's saying so many wonderful things. Children are hearing from God, and they're journaling what God is speaking to them in the Word. And
with
that
crayons.
Is beautiful. Crayons, pens, markers, you name it. They're just writing it down. And God's speaking to him, giving him dreams, and it's like, wow, very good. So the Spirit knows no age. You know that? Spirit knows no age.
Nope.
And when God wants to speak, he will definitely, definitely speak.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome, welcome back. We want to talk about, well, you just maybe, if you caught our last program, you need to go ahead and catch it, talking about where are we at? You know, what's the State of the Union? Mm-hmm. That'd be good to have a State of the Union right now. And it's sort of like you would say a State of the Union. Bill O'Reilly talked about it on Fox News. You can see part of it from our previous program. You go to VFNTV.com. But the things that he listed, the things that you're hearing talked about on VFNTV.
Mm-hmm.
And he sort of starts naming, you know, what's happening, the war over the Middle East, the increase of Al-Qaeda, that that President Putin is humiliating the president, that he's shooting or violating the missiles agreement with
1987.
He's just doing these crazy things going on. He lists them on and on and on and on and on. Our borders are being flooded, that this ideologues of radical Islam is greatly increasing. I just saw on CBN News where, you know, France's multicultural experiment is crashing in on them.
Oh, yes.
Because they have certain Muslims, not all Muslims, we're just talking about these particular ones that were radicalized, that they went from France to fight in the Syrian war for jihad. And so this mother is talking about, my son, he was a good son, and he took care of his family and all this, but now he's a jihadist. And so he went to Syria, and so he's fighting over there. And then once he finishes fighting, he comes back to France with an ISIS flag.
Right.
And it's like, what do you do with this?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's too late now, France. I mean, that at that point, you know, multicultural, you know, different, the differences in us is great. But you can't have 10,000 gods.
No.
Yeah, that doesn't work. I mean, look around.
Yeah, remember the UK saying that they need to teach British values again in their education system because it's being taken over.
Right. But once it's gone, it's gone. You know, they say once your borders are gone, then no nation's ever survived the breakdown of borders. And besides, if you really understand the greater goal of a lot of these people who are trying to organize the earth, you know, America used to be the highest achievement for, you know, people and leaders. It's like, it's the stepping block for people who want to be world leaders now. And they see America as just one more step before you can become on the Council of God, or Council of, not God, but what they call us guys?
Oh, the elders.
The elders of the earth. It's like a bad movie. It's like a real bad movie.
Very bad movie.
But it's true. It's true. Wow. And so George Soros, for example, wants to get rid of the borders. Where you're seeing borders violated everywhere. This is definitely, Chuck Pierce, I believe, gave a word about this is the time of fighting over borders. Maybe it was. No, it was Chuck Pierce. It's on VFN Torch. Under prophecies, and you're fighting for your borders, and America has to fight for theirs. Like France has obviously lost theirs, if you think about it. And they're fighting over Israel's borders and Gaza, Israel, West Bank, Egypt. And so it's like this, you know, it's frightening, is what that's the quote that Bill O'Reilly said. It's getting more frightening. And Bill O'Reilly saying it's getting frightening.
Right.
Frightening is not normal. But when Pat and I think John was there too, with Congressman Jeff Miller, who's the one you're seeing now. It's dealing with the VA crisis and all that. He's the chairs that committee on the VA. That his comments to us was, "You're waiting for this intense wisdom that's going to just pour out." And he's a great, he's a good leader. He's a really good leader, and he's a praying man. And he if you asked him who's Jesus to him, he would know who he is.
Yeah,
and he has a personal relationship with him, by the way. But he just told the truth like Bill O'Reilly did. He says, and he's talking about, we're talking about missiles in Central America and other places. And he goes, it's getting scarier, right? It's getting scarier and scarier. Like,
very profound.
Now, that's not the thing that I expected to come from. And what you have is you have a majority of folks in Washington going the wrong way. And so no matter how much your particular representatives for God and country, they're one vote, you know, in the midst of all that. But so what does this all mean? Well, it means we need to wake up. We can look at history. History is where, you know, that when World War II happened, America was caught by surprise. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie. What's the movie?
Pearl Harbor.
But it's like all of a sudden, this, it was a surprise. The whole point of the thing is, I believe, was showing that they were going about their day-to-day life, and then suddenly, to their surprise, that we were attacked. Mm-hmm. And they were attacked by Japan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the mindsets that had a shift. Why would such a small country attack such a big country that even they themselves said we woke a giant?
Yeah.
And so when these things happen, they happen. You can't wrap your brain around them when it's just something you're not expecting, but we can prepare for it. I mean, when the St. Louis was coming to the shores of America and the committees were voting whether they should receive these particular refugees because of what's happening with Hitler and all, you know, we turned them away.
Yeah.
We turned them away. Think about it. Could you imagine what that's going to look like in heaven when we turn a boat load of Jews away running from the persecution in Germany and Hitler, and a percentage of those ended up in the camps?
Yeah.
Wow.
And who took them in?
Dominican Republic.
Dominican Republic took them in. And look at the Dominican. It's a blessed land.
Mm-hmm.
And today we're faced with refugees, people running from what these organizers are doing in the world right now, yeah, all over the place.
Yeah, we can't even forget what Russia's been at this for a long time, and we think that, you know, in America we switch out leaders every 4 years. If they're reelected again, then 8 years. But he was in office when George W. president of Russia when, mm-hmm, George W. Bush was president. He took a minor break with Megadeth came in.
Megadeth.
Megadeth. The band.
No.
Putin's puppet.
Yeah, Putin's puppet. We'll make that related for you. But he's the one who says, I translate to Vladimir. But
right,
he
right.
was in charge the whole time, and now he's back again. So he's been there for quite a long while, and you're just seeing here in recent developments and in the news, I mean, the G20 summit, where you have, it's in Russia, the Olympics are in Russia, mm-hmm, yet you have the president coming 45 minutes late of the United States to this, mm-hmm, summit, Crimea.
Yes.
Ukraine, and now this Malaysian airline that's been shot out, it's being said the separatists in Russia, they're not being forthcoming with what's happening. It's like the bear's in the water. You know what I'm saying? We got to pay attention. Something's happening here, and we got to deal with it, and we can't just turn it over. The Arab League was turned over to him, and now they're saying 170,000 people have died in Syria right now with the civil war, and they're reporting that the president now has backed off of, you know, wanting Assad to be removed. He turned everything over to Putin, just turned it completely over.
And who doesn't want Assad to be removed?
Right, because they're allies with Syria, and
Syria
is connected
base
with
there.
Iran.
There's a Russian base. Well, we're about to go to break, but when we come back, we want to be able to give a perspective of, okay, there's a lot of turmoil going on, there's a lot of difficult things going on, and if you have the faith to continue to look, and we try to deliver it to you in a way that you can be encouraged and understand that God's in control, there's a question that Jesus' disciples, if you look at Jerusalem, if you look at, everybody's focused on Jerusalem and, you know, Israel, look outside the eastern gate of that city right there, and that little mountain over there is called the Mount of Olives. Jesus was sitting on that mountain talking about these days. And we're going to share with you an answer that Jesus gave to the question to his disciples that asked him, that said, you know, what will it be like? What will be the signs of your coming? And so you're going to be really encouraged. So come back, join us after the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Hey, we were just talking about what, you know, God is saying, and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good, you know. I mean, right. is there something? And we prayed for a long time. You know, we pray for a long time, and part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally, is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore, because it just felt so heavy and so broken. And so I don't think I have the grace, I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions. Mm-hmm. But I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And he did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. Mm-hmm. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation, he's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did that. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally
it's
put
in the sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about mm-hmm. it. And so if you're gods, and not if you say you're gods, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're gods, gods with apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're gods. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And I'm like, no, dude. You know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You abide. You hang out with him not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So what would be the signs? This is what the disciples sitting on the Mount of Olives right across outside the Eastern Gate of Jerusalem, where everybody's looking at Israel now. And if you got your, what is the app called? The Israel Red Alert app. You know, you're hearing these missiles come down on top of where Jesus was, talking with his disciples, but the Iron Dome is stopping them. But this is the epicenter of what's going on. And so we're beginning to think, let's look back and see what Jesus was saying, because he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, which if you were standing on the Mount of Olives, you're looking at Jerusalem, you're looking at the Eastern Gate, and they say that he'll walk through the Eastern Gate. His feet, when he comes down, will land on the Mount of Olives, and the mountain will split. Mm. I mean, think about that. And so they're talking to him, having a private conversation with Jesus, his disciples were. And they said, listen, you know, what's going to be the sign? This is Matthew chapter 24, if you want to, you know, read a little bit later on. He said, what will be the signs of your coming? And a little quick preface here, I could say, like it's happening right now, you know. Mm-hmm. So what would be the sign of your coming? In other words, the Lord is going to come, just so you know this. This same Jesus that went up before the eyes of so many of the disciples to go sit at the right hand of the Father is going to come back. By the way, just so you know, he's first going to come and he's going to gather his church to be with him. Secondly, he's going to, after a period of time, he's going to come and he's going to write in Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, the present one. And then I'm getting pretty deep in here. But anyway, he's going to come back. He's going to come back and he's going to rule and reign, but he's going to come back for his church. So this same Jesus that we talk about, he's coming back. So what is the sign then of his coming? What's going to happen before this happens? And so Jesus said, first of all, he said in verse 4, he said, watch out that no one deceives you. There is so much deception today. If you, 81% of Christians in America that attend church on a regular basis don't even pick up their Bibles at all. Mm. You are like bait. You know, you're just bait for any deception. How are you going to know what a lie is if you don't even know the truth? And Jesus said, watch out that you're not deceived. And the very person that's talking to you could be deceiving you. and you can't verify it because you don't open your Bible. You don't pick it up and read it. And of the 19% that do read it, only 3% read it in a way like Jesus is talking about reading it here. Only 3%, which means the nation of America, the church in America, can be easily deceived. And so we got to say, you know what? I'm going to get in the Bible. I'm going to read. I'm going to watch out. I'm going to watch out that I'm not. I'm going to be deceived because I'm going to begin to abide with Jesus Christ today. Mm-hmm. And we have a simple plan for you. Go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and begin to watch out that you're not deceived. And then he says, you know, for many will come in my name claiming that I am, that they're me, that I'm the Messiah. They will say that. I mean, look about it. All these different folks that are around with these different religions. You see these religious wars going on. You know, one religious sect believes that their savior is coming and has come or whatever, and they're fighting for that religious figure, and then, which is their Messiah. You know, they would claim that that's the Messiah. And then another one's fighting that one because they're saying they're wrong, and they're waiting, or they believe that their Messiah has come or is coming. And then it's like, okay, wait a minute. There's only one Messiah, which means one of you or both of you or all of you outside one of you is right. And he's saying many, it's going to happen. So a lot of people are getting really frustrated with all these, you know, Messiah complexes out there and these false doctrines. And it's like, he said that's what's going to happen. We don't need to be worried about false doctrines. We need to be worried about true doctrine and start just talking the truth. And some are going to accept the truth and some are not. But if we don't tell them, how would they actually even accept it? So he says, watch out for that. That's going to happen. And he said, when they do this, many people are going to be deceived. Many are going to be deceived, which means what you think you're doing is right when you're wrong. You're fighting some jihadist war for what you think is your Messiah, and you think that you give your life on behalf of him, and you're going to instantly go to heaven. Isn't that going to be a crying eternal shame to find out that you were deceived? You know what I'm saying? It's going to be horrific. But at that point, once you die, it's over. You know, once you die, then the judgment. And so you got to make sure you're not deceived. You can't just buy into what other people are saying. You got to find out, you know, who is Jesus? So Jesus is telling, the Son of God is talking, this is what it's going to be like when I come back. He said, you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. In other words, you're going to turn on the news and you're going to see bombs landing in Gaza, bombs being shot into Israel. Mm-hmm. You're going to see stuff like going on in Syria and Iraq. You're going to see, you know, just all these different
Ukraine. Yeah.
He said, this is going to happen. And you're going to turn on your news and you're going to see signs of his coming. And then he says, but see to it that you're not alarmed. So many people feel guilty, a false sense of guilt, as if you're going to be able to stop war, that people are fighting. Like a mother that sees her children fighting. And it's like, if you raise them right and they're fighting, and you told them to stop, they don't stop. That's their fault, not your fault.
Right.
You may want them not to fight, but understand, they've got to choose to do what's right. Mm-hmm. And if you have nations fighting against nations, why would you carry the unnatural burden and think that maybe you're having a Messiah complex, that you're going to go there and you're going to solve this? And what you have is people who don't know God telling you that they do know God, telling you if you're a Christian, then you should be over. It's like, you don't even know who he is. He told me this is going to happen. He told me don't be alarmed. No alarm here. That's what he said. He said, don't be alarmed. He says, such things must happen, but the end is still to come. In other words, just because you're seeing this doesn't mean, hey, this is it. He's going to come.
Mm-hmm.
He says, such things must happen. Then he says, in verse 7, he said, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That's very important. So you have one nation fighting another nation. You got Syria and all the multiple wars there. You got Russia fighting in the Ukraine and Ukraine fighting against Russia. You have just all these things going on. You have Afghanistan, you had Iraq, and just on and on. And he said, this is going to happen. And even when you think about nation, the word nation comes from the Greek word ethnos, which where we get the word ethnic group or race. So there's going to be people who don't know God, who are going to be having racial battles just over race. They're fighting over race. And, you know, shades of the image and the likeness of God. Mm-hmm. Enemies dividing people over that.
Right.
And that's going to happen. And you're like, oh, I don't want these ethnic these race battles. And it's like, you know, Jesus is walking by the Samaritan woman and nobody had anything to do with her because of her. Samaritan means she had several different races and she wasn't a Jew. And
look what happened in Rwanda. I mean, that cleansing, was hard. That cleansing was horrible. And it was all race, you know, race related.
Right. And so, and we don't want it to happen. We want to be able to pray that stop and provide humanitarian aid. But we got to understand that he told us these things are going to, he says, listen, he says, you know, these things must happen. And, but he also says in verse 8, after that, he goes, all of these are the beginning of birth pains. Obviously, you know, we've had children, our wives have had children, but we haven't, we were with her, with them. And there's you're pregnant, you know, for a period of time, but there comes a point in time towards the end of that pregnancy when you're not going to be pregnant anymore.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're not carrying this thing. This thing's on the inside. It's going to come out. So what happens is she begins to experience contractions and birth, they call birthing pains. And all of a sudden the uterus starts tightening up and tightening up and tightening, just almost strengthening itself, getting stronger, and the baby's rearranging and dropping its head. And all of a sudden, at first it was like, oh, what was that? Oh, what was that? Was that a war in the Middle East? Oh, you know, it's like, and then it's like, well, I guess this is going to be good. Then all of a sudden we go, oh, right. And it becomes really painful. And, they say, and then they call the doctor, and the doctor, and they're thinking, you know, the doctor's going to come to my rescue. You know, you have to understand, my wife's going through pains. And they say, well, how far apart are these pains? And they go, oh, you know, like, I don't know, an hour. Go, oh. Yeah,
that's go back to sleep.
you know, it's like, oh, just, you got plenty of time. Just, you know, maybe next week sometime. Next week.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's the beginning of birthing pains. You feel like this must be now because I'm hurting. There's pain. There's death. There's mayhem. There's destruction. Nation fight against nation. All these things are happening. He's saying they're legitimate precursors to what's going to be coming, which is his coming. And so it's not that, hey, he's not going to come. It's the fact these things are going to be happening, and they're going to get closer and closer and closer. And what they're waiting for, the doctor's waiting for those pains to get so close that they know that the birthing is really soon. And it gets, the more pain, the closer you get, the more pain, the more trouble, the more all the things that we'll see. And he's comparing the earth just like that to his coming. And people won't get along even more as things progress. And so, but then she pushes through. She finally shows up at the hospital. And it's still not yet, because it's just them. The baby is still in hiding. The baby is still in the womb. But he's making himself known. This child knows that he'll soon be out. And then suddenly, the doctor just begins to say, push. And it, almost against it, the earth's will, right? Almost against the woman's will. But yet the pain is so bad, maybe this will stop. And just somehow in this seemingly tragic moment of pain,
yeah,
the baby's born.
Mm-hmm.
And the pain is subsiding, and the joy of this child being born comes in the full room, and everybody's just, it almost is like, almost, and understand, he's saying, listen, this is nothing but the beginning of birthing pains. And they're going to get closer and closer. And we come back from this break, we're going to talk about, you know, what's going to happen. What are some of the things that are going to happen and progress that Jesus talked about as a sign of his coming? Because we want to be able to be ready and not be claiming we're having Braxton contractions, you know, false contractions for a coming of the Lord. Is this the moment? Is this the real, are we in real labor for the coming of our Lord? We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Are you or someone you know having difficulties hearing? If you answered yes, then maybe it's time to contact the professional staff at Ears to Hear Hearing Center, where they improve the quality of life for the hearing impaired and their families by testing and fitting and dispensing the best hearing aid for the patient's hearing loss, lifestyle, and budget. Three convenient locations on the Gulf Coast to serve your needs. Don't miss one more word. Call today and be on your way to enjoying the gift of hearing.
Pat, I had a chance to go to my doctor, yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to bring up the name or the practice. And they, when you go in there, they give you these forms now. They give you these forms on clipboards. And it's like, there's a day, I will never forget, when we, by the way, there was a time when we didn't have self-service gas. You'd pull up to a gas station, and people would put gas in your car. And this, yeah. this is started having little stores open up with self-service.
They still do that in the north.
Yeah. Like, well, I know. There's a reason why. Everybody's scared to get out of the car. They, they crack the windows. They give me five. You just want a gallon, huh? Anyway, so he, you pulled up to a gas station way back when, and they'd put gas in your car, and they started opening up these self-service here and there. There's very few. And people would go, that's never going to work. Mm. That's just never going to work. And, of course, now we're all – you have women getting out in, like, ball gowns standing by her car, holding her nozzle. And that's not a strange sight that people have never seen, not having self-service. But there was a day that a lady was honored when she pulled up to the gas station because the men would come out and shine her windshield and check her oil and thank her for her business. And it was just real cool. Mm. It was real neat how that happened. Well, that's how the doctor's offices are now. I mean, I went to this doctor's office, and they gave me the clerk's work. I mean, I had this like three-page form back in front, all these questions, you know. What ratio of improvement have you had since the last time you visited based on the left quadrant part of your body? I'm like, oh, my goodness, what happened? This feels like a final exam in the university or something. And so I'm working my way through it. I'm fighting, you know, oppression. I'm getting it. Finally, I get this paperwork done. I'm thinking, like, how much are they paying you, lady? I mean, you're not even doing this. You should ask these questions for us.
You get a tip.
You get a tip or whatever. You know, your ratio. You have to give ratios. How much have you proved? Percentage-wise, from the last time you hear, I don't know, 27% I'm better? I don't know. And so anyway, I think I finally passed that, and I leave this older man, and he's still, like, on page one of that stuff. I looked at him. I said, hold in there, man. You could do this thing. Cause I know what was going through his thought was self-service gas would never work. Anyway, so here I am. They take me to this room. You're thinking, man, this is cool. I'm going to be taken care of. They called me out. I felt bad leaving the older man in this particular waiting room, but, you know, you have to do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. They take me to a little small room, maybe, I don't know, nothing by nothing, and they said, doctor will be right with you. And then they closed the door, and I thought, oh, my goodness.
And an hour later.
I'm telling you. It was like the walls were closing in. It was I remember in the sheriff's department, we used to take people and put them in isolation, and we put them all by themselves when they would do stuff wrong in the jail. So, and I'm like, this is isolation. There is no video. There's no outside thing. There's not a phone hanging. Luckily, I had my phone, and I told the doctor when he finally got in there about 3 days later, I said, listen, man, this is like isolation. If I didn't have my phone to be able to call my family and reconnect with them on the outside, I wouldn't know what was happening here. This is a long time. We need something in touch with the outside world by your patients. Of course, he looked at me, and he said, so what percentage are you better now that you are?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So Jesus is talking to his disciples because they're asking, you know, what is it going to be like when you're going to come back? You know, because you're going to come back. And I'm looking at Matthew chapter 24 talking about it. They're sitting on the Mount of Olives. We were to cover some of the things, and those things are happening now. Mm-hmm. He says, don't rest the birthing pains. These things must come to pass. Relax a little bit. Don't be alarmed. Now, this is the alarming part, verse 9. Mm-hmm. And he says, these battles between kingdoms and nations are going on. False people are popping up saying they're Jesus. You know, they're the Messiah. Mm-hmm. They're the whatever, the Savior. And he says, but then you'll be handed over to be persecuted. You'll be handed over to be persecuted. This is what's happening right now to the church across the world, mind you. Right now, Christians are the most persecuted faith in the world. But right now, it's on a huge, intense increase. And I got to be frank with you. It doesn't look like our government's that concerned about it at all. At all. While Christians are being crucified, beheaded, forced into slavery, ran out of their country, we're not even talking about it. We're talking more about Islam and and befriending the Muslims and other faiths. And it's like
defending negative stereotypes.
Yeah, defending negative stereotypes. But the thing is like, that's called persecution, just so you know that. So Jesus said, but then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. If you would have joined us, you would have seen, last week, you would have seen there's Christians being crucified, nailed to a cross in Iraq. It's happening all over the place. And then he says, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. This is a big issue with a lot of folks. They just want to be loved by everybody. They want to be accepted by everybody. And it gets you in a big mess, don't it?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they don't, you know, it's not going to work. And if you have, you're not going to be able to walk with God if you want Satan to love you. I mean, it's just not going to work. If you have somebody walking in darkness and you're trying to get their approval because that actually fulfills something inside of you, you lose the approval of God when you go for Lucifer's approval. You have to understand. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't yet heard, you know, organizers of the night versus organizers of the day, I talked about a dream that God gave me, a prophetic dream, talking about how, you know, much the church is trying to serve darkness and light. And it was very detailed. And it's demonic, and you got to make up your mind who you're going to serve. And so what we're seeing take place right now on our VFN TV, and when you're seeing it across your television screens, this is a sign of his coming. He says, then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. What's that mean? That means even the very nation you're in, a church in America, you're trying to integrate yourself so much with the American flag, you're leaving the Bible behind. Yeah. Like one of the leaders in the Baptist denomination, I can't know which one it is, but it's one of the bigger ones. He said, we've been selling people on America and just giving them Jesus.
Mm.
And he said, we got to repent of that because we're supposed to be preaching the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just beautiful. You know, a couple of years ago, he said that. And that's what's been happening. What you have to understand is persecution is not going to make sense to you if you don't understand. You're trying to be a good American and you leave. You know, it's like, you know, some of these candidates, you hear them talking, you ask them, who is Jesus to you? They're at that point when somebody asks you, who is Jesus to you? They're seeing whose kingdom are you willing? Are you willing to give up God's kingdom for to be part of the kingdom of America? That's what's happening at that point. But the unique thing about America is that you can keep the kingdom of God in you. You can be loyal to Jesus Christ. There's a First Amendment that says they're going to make no laws and they cannot persecute you based on your religion. And if you just pipe up and understand that we can keep this thing called America. But Jesus, it's one nation under God. God first, America second. Kingdom first, America second. You know, that's how it happened. It's a byproduct of people who got in the Word, met God of the Word, and began to look for a place to worship this God that they met. And so, you know, you're going to be hated. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, which blows a lot of doctrine out of the water, which means they were walking in faith. They were walking just like Simon was walking when he believed and he was baptized. But then all of a sudden he had pride and selfish gain and idolatry come up, and he wanted to buy this power of God.
Mm-hmm.
So he took a different path. He turned away from the faith. But over and over again, it talks about, he says, Jesus, just so you know, the people that are preaching about Jesus, Jesus, what Jesus said. Jesus said, many people are going to leave me because of the persecution, because of the cost, because of the price. He says, at this time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. And he says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will go cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel, think about it. This is Jesus. When are you going to come back? And this gospel, what I just said, what I've been saying in the last two programs about who is Jesus to you. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. How can we hasten his coming? Get out of your comfort zone. Be willing to not give people a reason to hate you, but just love God, do what's right, love them, and it'll just happen naturally. And be willing to be hated for the cause of loving them. Be willing to be humiliated for the very sake of the one who's humiliating you. That's how you know. I mean, you're willing to, that's what happened to Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, here he was, all God. You think about it, all man, did nothing wrong, but he was willing to be humiliated, to be nailed to a cross, to take on the sin of the world. And if we'll understand that, we'll be just like Paul, and Paul was standing before the king in double chains, mind you, for something he didn't do. And he said, you know, King, I wish you were just like me, except for these chains. Persecution didn't bother him. Mm. He was trying to win this king to the Lord. He's trying to win this political leader to the Lord. He just wanted them to know Jesus and Jesus, them to be saved. This is where we're going to have to rise up to the occasion. It's time for us to stand up and be counted, not hide, hid out where nobody can actually count us as a follower of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
We have to understand what we're seeing happen in the earth today, right now, this very moment, is birthing pains. And guess what? They're going to continue. They're going to increase. They're going to get closer. And you're going to be pressured. Are you going to stick with God? Are you going to stay? Are you going to stand, even when it stinks, and continue to the love of God and preaching the gospel of God that men might be saved? I encourage you, continue sticking with VFN TV, the daily radio program, because we're going to encourage you by God's grace on a daily basis to walk this walk out. We can do this thing with Christ who strengthens us. God bless.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.